We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
It's a confusing time to be a Yankee fan. I think confusing's fair.
That was a good one. Yeah, well, I wasn't sure what you were going to say. Confusing is very, very accurate. Is this the 98 Yankees from the first half, or is this the 2021 Yankees from the second half? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the 2021 Yankees from the second half. It's like the 92 Yankees. Mel Hall out there.
Bad, man. 11-20 since July 9th. I mean, they started that Fenway. I keep
still have a 10-game lead, though. Still have a 10-game lead.
I don't know how. The rest of the division must be on vacation.
Are they all playing? I mean, the Blue Jays are in second place, and they're 3-7 in their last 10. We're 2-8.
I think we peaked at 16 games. Like, that was our biggest lead. And the fact that it's only gone down six games during this two-month slide is crazy.
That's our saving grace. You know, it's the games. So the same way people give a shit when we say, when, you know, we get upset about like a Tuesday in April game and people are like, well, it's just April. Every game matters equally at the end when you're adding them up. So if we were in this position and had just played about this clip the entire season, we'd be pretty fucking happy.
We would, but I don't like how they're using this 10-game lead as like a security blanket. Like, oh, we're fine. Like, just because you have a 10-game lead doesn't mean you're playing well. And they keep going back to that in the interview. Like, this isn't really a rough patch. This is a long pattern of poor play.
Yeah, I mean, after, like, at what point is it, like, when is it not a rough patch? Like, after it hits like 3 weeks, it's not a patch anymore?
I was thinking 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a patch. 3 weeks is a stretch, maybe. Maybe 3 to 4 weeks would be a stretch.
Yeah, like instead of it's not, this isn't a patch. You don't have like a patch of hair that's thinning. Like, you're pretty bald right now.
Like, yeah, they need to get the Rogaine. You had a prediction that they would lose a hard fought series in Seattle with a backbreaking loss on getaway day.
So I predicted they would do that.
Yep.
And then I hoped that they would pull it together on the plane. The boys, they did it.
You had a hard 1-for-2 there. Nailed the first part, and then, you know, they did not piss vinegar in Fenway. I mean, seriously, we'll dive into it, but they easily could have gotten swept. I mean, Saturday was like the luckiest win. Saturday reminded me of like when you played Little League, and there's always that kid, last kid on the bench, and you're going through the whole season. Little League season's like 20 games, 15, 20 games, and you're like, is this kid going to get a clean single to the outfield? You know, gets two at-bats a game, doesn't play the whole game, you're not sure. And then the last week of the season, strokes a single to center, and the whole dugout explodes. That's what that IKF homer was like. I mean, it was like the exact same thing.
It felt more like in Little League when the bases are loaded and, like, the girl on your team just gets hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's just – and you're just like, oh, Roseanne. But, hey, good job. Like – I mean, Roseanne's going to have a bruise tomorrow. That was the girl on my Little League team.
That's funny. My best friend's little sister played Little League like for a long time, up until like fifth or sixth grade. But no, that was such a I mean, that is a game like that'll happen once a year. IKF wins a game for us. And that's like a lunar eclipse. You know what I mean?
I mean, he still won a game for us.
He did.
He won a major league game.
He did. That bunt, man. I was thinking about it. Have you ever seen us get an RBI from a bunt? Like, I was thinking about every Yankee game I watched, which is, I don't know, 150 a year. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's been a RBI bunt. It's been a while. It's been a while. I mean, we've stolen home more recently.
Right. And they were still, I mean, they still had the, you know, runner in scoring position with Devers up in the ninth. I mean, they easily could have gotten swept in that series. So Clay Holmes, I mean, he's done, right? I mean, the closer, it's over,
no.
Right? It's Chapman again.
No, I don't think so. I think
you're
right now
still it's... giving him a shot.
What do you mean? What's he blown? Two games?
Clay Holmes has like a 7 ERA in the past month. Ruined another Friday night. It looked completely lost. I think it's Chapman's
job. You can't just be switching them around willy-nilly. You can't. I mean, we went with fucking Esvas or whatever his name is. Yeah.
So you say just keep mixing it up and just see how it plays out?
Yeah. You've got – I mean, realistically, right? We have a – I don't care how we got to it. Right now, if season starts today, Cole's on the mound. It's, you know, day one of whatever, a 45-game season. What do we got, 50 games left?
If that, yeah.
Let me see. What's just doing a little quick math. Yeah, it's like 50 games left, okay. A little under that. But first of all, like, there's a little bit of like, are we even going to be a 100-win team?
It's like that if we go 500 thing and it's getting too real.
No, we can't go 500 and be a 100-win team. We cannot. That won't get us there. So, like, it might come down to the, like, yeah, hey, 98 wins the division like we thought all along.
But 98 wins probably gets us a bye, too, because we're lucky because the Central sucks.
The Central's a joke.
So, we could win 95 games and maybe get a bye.
We might win the East and win the Central. I think there might have a rule. No, so if the season starts today, we still got a 10-game lead. So as the other teams have not gained on us, it gives us more time. I view September 1st. By September 1st, you got to have sorted out. You got to know what's up with Bader. When is he? Like, you have to have a date that he's expected back. So you've got to be saying, like, hey, he's going to be back on the 10th, and we feel that, you know, get into play in 14 games will get him ready for the playoffs, whatever that, you know, however that works out. You've got to know Seve. What's the deal? You have to have, here is the date. We're not hoping, even if you don't tell us, if you are at least internally saying, hey, it's, you know, this is, you know, when he's going to be back. This is how we're going to use him. You got to have your plan. You got to have Stanton back. Changes the whole lineup. And then we've got to have sorted out whatever's going on with DJ's foot.
God, that was just not what we needed last night. IKF just made another error that they're going to call a hit, I'm sure. But the speedster, G-Man Choi.
So I didn't see it live because I was talking. I mean, he's going pretty far.
It was in his glove, and then it fell out of his glove. That's an error.
It's a hit. It's a hit.
Of course. You know what? Let's just fuck Cole. We'll fuck his line, and we'll protect IKF.
What do you mean? He's all the way over. He has come across the infield. Where's my remote? God, I'm going to watch it again.
It's ridiculous.
I think this is going to – what's going to do in our friendship is going to be me defending IKF.
Why is the official score looking out – riding ride or die for IKF and just consistently throwing Cole under the bus?
I don't think anyone's throwing Cole.
G-Man Choi is a fat, slow first baseman. They should not be getting in. That's not an infield hit. A clean play, that's an out.
I went too many pitches back. But yeah, so obviously we're recording this at 7 o'clock. We've got the game on in the background. Yeah, I think finding out that DJ is battling something and has been for a while gives you a little bit of an explanation about why he's hitting under 200 the last 7 games. But at the same time, you know, It's just not what we need to hear.
Yeah, super depressing, especially.
I'll go with you. He could have, if he came up with it clean, he could have gotten them. I rewound it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's a big, the DJ thing is not what we needed, especially with Karp down, especially with Stan down, especially with Rizzo playing whatever every other day. I mean, that was the last thing we needed. I saw a depressing stat. I think Ryan Garcia, he writes for Bronx Pinstripes. It's like we have an 89 WRC plus for shortstop, third base, and second base since July 9th, which is like horrible. And you think about it, like Donaldson just sucks. DJ's been slumping. Glaber's been slumping. IKF just sucks. Like we are getting nothing out of 3/4 of the past 6 weeks. And that coincides with this funk.
So we've talked about, you know, how healthy the Yankees have been. Like the first half where, you know, they've been so healthy. And it feels like with some of these injuries, the way like we're holding on a few days, and part of it's the lead, you know, whatever. We hold on a few days and then we just have like this dead spot in the lineup or like dead spot on the roster. Like DJ is not eligible today. He wasn't eligible yesterday. Like, and when I say eligible, I mean physically, he's not going in a pinch hit situation. So I'd like to see us just like for guys like that. I tweeted it earlier today. Put him on the IL for the 10 days. Rest him. Like the game on the 22nd doesn't matter as much as the game in September at this point because we have the 10-game lead. So let's take the week and a half, make sure he comes back good, and then he's able to make that 2-month push, and let's call up some of the young guys.
Yeah, 100%, especially with the 10-day lead. And my rule of thumb for these like day-to-day, do we put him on the IL, do we not, type things – you know, up to 2 days is fine. Anything more than that, like Rizzo missed 5 games. Like that is unacceptable to play shorthanded. Look at that death stare that Cole gave IKF. He is furious. The defensive ace.
Yeah, but like also, I mean, you're not pitching good enough to stare people down.
He's not. I was encouraged. It was late and stuff and we're all over the place right now. But I did like that 7 shutout in Seattle. I only watched like five, six innings of it, but that was nice to see him get back on track a little. But this is a common thread. Like we're talking about this live. IKF, you know, 50-50 play, whatever. He doesn't make it. Now there's 2 on and 2 outs.
Was only 1 on. IKF didn't throw any of the balls in the next at bat.
No, I'm saying now there's 2 on.
Yeah.
And now it's like this is when Cole has been in the past. You know, he lets up a 3-run homer, and I feel like he lets it. It's on both of them because he lets it spiral a little bit. Like, I think he gets angry at IKF and he can't finish the inning. Like, it's kind of both of their faults.
Yes. Yeah. So the way I look at it, I really seem like an IKF dick rider, but I really just mean it as like a common sense thing. Yeah. Is IKF makes $5 million. Cole makes $35 million. So, like, you got to keep your head when the guy who makes $5 million doesn't field the ground ball in the second inning.
I agree with you there. The other thing that you think, like you think about Scherzer, you think about DeGrom, like they're not letting that affect them. They're ending like Max Scherzer is not letting that affect. And that's the give and take. And it does feel like Cole is a tick under those guys, not far off, but he does feel like he's a tick under. Same thing with Verlander. And that is a little bit depressing.
I wonder if it's like, he knows what's at stake. It's still early in the contract. He knows that it's that contract's not going to be competitive the whole time.
No.
There'll be years. I mean, it hasn't been competitive, really. Like you look at, you know, last year.
The pandemic year, he was pretty much perfect. Like,
But I'm just talking about the years that like go by team.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you feel the pressure of like CeCe got his World Series in the first year. So even though we didn't win another one, he was fine cashing the check.
That's true. No, that's very fair. And I think A-Rod was talking about this last night. We'll get to all the A-Rod Jeter stuff. But A-Rod was talking about how, look, there's got to be a sense of urgency. This could be Judge's last year. Right. With the team, like they're all feeling that. And especially like Cole's 31. I think he turns 32 maybe in next month or something. Like he's not going to get better. Like, there's a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And they've never got out of the DS with him as a Yankee, which is crazy.
I wonder what they're going after. Who knows?
They're pissed about that IKF error.
Right? Is anyone at the front door? Ah, the landscapers are probably here. It's about time. It's about sundown. It's about time for them to come wake up my neighbors, wake up my kids.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Seattle was – I stayed up for that first game. I got Shawshanked. Like a mere hours after, I was like, no chance I see any of these games. I saw part of every game. I watched the whole first game. That sucked. I kind of expected it to happen. You're going against Castillo in the second game. It just, you know, it's not going to look good, you know, any way you cut it up. So you get out of there. You go to Boston. You have the heartbreaker on Friday. Ugh. You've got the kid win on Saturday on his own. And then last night, like on the national stage, the Red Sox go out there and win one for Carrabas.
That was just embarrassing. You know, what was funny is the K-Rod cast, like they couldn't even get their full agenda in because they were planning for like a three and a half hour game.
Yeah.
The game, they brought Youkilis in with like two outs in the ninth trying to squeeze in that interview. I've never seen, especially a Sunday night Yank Sox game. I mean, those are the longest always. The fact that ended at 9:15. Like,
I was shocked. Shocked. Like, it didn't feel late, you know, and you're not like watching the clock while you're watching one of these games until it starts to feel, you know, you start to feel tired. And I just like, I didn't feel tired. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's 9:15. Like, I still have to watch another, I have to put something else on TV.
Yes.
I can't just go to sleep now. This is weird.
It was bizarre. And it was just like those at bats. I mean, when you looked at the lineup and what was it? The 7-8-9 was IKF, LeCastro, and Higashioka. I mean, you know, you're in trouble like when you have a 7-8-9 like that. But I thought they would at least string a couple of runs together. I mean, they need Stanton back. I mean, the bottom line is that when Stanton's in there, it's a scary, terrifying, game changing lineup. And when he's not in there, it's, you know, it's an OK lineup. I really think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've talked about it for a long time, and then I just – the lineup's just all over the place on any given day. We can't get any kind of rhythm, and I get it. Over 162 games, guys are going to get injured, but it's been so – like, Stanton's out. He's been out for a little bit now. Rizzo misses five games, but then he's kind of back and forth because you're easing him back in. Now DJ's missing time. So, like, nobody's getting regular reps except for IKF, who is IKF, and Glaber, who's 1-for-23 or what, you know, whatever it may be. Benintendi, who he's played well the last, like, week and a half, but, you know, hasn't done anything special. Hasn't had his, like, I'm announcing myself as a Yankee guy.
He played well at Fenway, a couple nice defensive plays. He had the double in the ninth on set. I mean, he's been doing something at least. Some of these guys are just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Benintendi's at least doing something. And the Carpenter loss was huge. He was hitting 300 and he was hitting a home run, I don't know, every 10 at bats, getting walks.
Think he makes it back?
I do.
I think he's got, like, I mean, I'm hopeful. And if determination plays a role in healing in any way, I feel like, hey, you know, like if you believe in then he'll be here. I'm looking for that, like that first checkup. Like, 'cause he went, it's like confirmed. And now I think it's in like 2 weeks.
Week or two. Yeah, no, it's funny. This is actually the 1 year anniversary of when I broke my foot. And
oh, really?
Honestly, I can't like it. Honestly, it took me about 6 months for it to feel like completely normal again. Like I forgot that this happened. That, like, it amazes me that these guys can come back in like a month or two from something like this.
You gotta think about it. Like, how often did you go to physical therapy?
I didn't go until probably 4 months after the injury, and then I went twice a week. Yeah, he's probably already going.
He's probably, I mean, no, they probably have him. I think they said it was like 2 weeks,
no weight at all. That sucks.
But like, he's still probably getting it, you know, not full scans and everything, but like getting checked.
whatever they can do to like stimulate the muscles around the foot and machine. Like there's just more things at his disposal to make ramping everything else up more, you know, better.
That's true. But they're going to miss him. And dude, he's a lefty bat. Remember, they're still right-handed heavy. And he was pounding that short porch, had a perfect swing. It's a big loss. And it seems so minor. Like when I was watching that live, when he fouled the ball off and he didn't like crumple over anything. He just kind of hobbled around a little bit. You're like, oh, okay, maybe he'll miss a game.
Yeah, he kept the bat going, and it was like, all right, yeah, like maybe he'll come out. Like that's not broken, but yeah, it's broken.
So it was broken. I think Bader is going to be key. I read something that one of the reasons they made that trade is apparently like the past 10 World Series champions have had like a top five defensive, I guess, center fielder based on the metrics, and I think that was a big factor in the trade because people were confused.
I mean, we needed a center fielder. I think people are confused because there wasn't a corresponding pitcher move.
Yeah.
You know, we thought it was going to be some prospects and like Glaber going to Miami.
Which looking at Glaber now, man, I think I'm out on GT.
I don't have the time to do it or really the interest. But I'd be so interested if somebody went through and just came up with like what's a fair measurement for it to just go game by game. Did Glaber have a good game or a bad game and see what that career looks like? It's close.
Yeah, he's wonky. Like he's always losing his fundamentals. He loses his swing. He'll swing it like a million pitches in a row in the dirt. You could tell mentally he gets out of whack. The whole shortstop, second base thing. I think he's a little fragile, and I don't think he has the physical gifts. Like he's not super strong. He's not explosive. He's not quick. I don't think he has the gifts to really make up for his kind of mental gaffes. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I think so. I mean, I think we've always kind of said like – he's mentally weak, maybe.
Yeah. And he's seems like a great kid. Super nice. Yeah.
Yeah. If he was just like the shortstop of the Brewers and could make two All-Star games in his career, it'd be great.
And I think when he was coming up, when you hear top prospect in all of baseball, like you're thinking about a guy that can run really quick or has a rocket arm or like he doesn't really have,
he's supposed to be a 30-30 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. And he's put up the home run numbers to show that he could do it. And then he was supposed to get better. Yeah, but when you do it, then you're supposed to be getting better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're one of those guys. And he's not that guy.
I would sell. I mean, it depends how he finishes. But if he can turn it up a little bit, I would move on this offseason. I just don't believe in him long term. And like you said, the sample size is big enough. This is his fifth year, 18, 19, 20, 20. Yeah, fifth year. I think we've seen what we need to see.
Yeah, I think also with like the we've got middle infielders.
Yeah.
And some of them don't grade out to be shortstops in the long term. We've
Peraza got DJ. Short, Volpe at second long term. You could do or something like that. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, because Volpe has, you know, really turned it up in the minor leagues. I haven't seen updated like defensive anything, but he always kind of projected to probably be a second better off as a second baseman than a shortstop.
I think it's similar to Seager where it's like he'll be able to play shortstop for maybe the first half of his career adequately, but eventually we'll have to play third or second. Yeah.
Yeah. What Jeter should have been.
Yeah. Can we do that now?
Yeah.
A little bit. I'll be honest. I'm the big, you know, like you, huge Jeter fan. He's my favorite blood, you know, compared to my blood relatives or my wife, he's probably my favorite person, you know. And watching this, I got to be honest, I'm a little bit, I definitely don't like him as much. The thing that bothers me, I think he was a little too clicky with some of the free agents they brought in. You've heard Sheffield talk about it. You've heard Giambi talk about it. You've heard A-Rod talk about it. I think if he was a little bit more welcoming and less stubborn and really let those guys in and embrace them, maybe they win in 03 or 04 or 06. Like, I think he was a little bit clicky with his homegrown crew.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that in 03 they made it to the World Series and just ran out of gas. In 04, I don't think like a couple extra invites to dinner stopped Dave Roberts from taking second. In some of those other years, though, and the years when like there were years where we just knew we were chasing. Like, we were just like, we're just trying, like, I mean, realistically, like, yeah, we have Gary Sheffield. Like, we're adding the end of Gary Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing that a lot with guys. Andrew Jones.
Oh, man.
You know?
But, yeah, but you think about, like, I mean, 2006, they had a great – they had a great team. They were the one seed, and that was the year. That was the year that A-Rod and Jeter had the pop up, and Jeter wouldn't defend him. Like that.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I just saw that you said 03, 04, okay. And I think those, like, we got so far that that wasn't.
Gotcha. Okay. But you agree with me on 06, maybe?
Oh yeah, and a ton of other years. But I don't know. I feel like we heard a lot of that stuff, like, even kind of in the moment. Now, the internet wasn't what it is now, so it's not all getting tweeted a billion times. You know, everyone's not a reporter back then. But, you know, there was the Sheffield Jeter, you know, he's not black enough issue. And you knew that, like, there were rifts there. You would hear about them. But normally it'd be like one article in the Daily News of, like, is this a thing? And that was it.
Yeah.
But you knew it. And I just think, like, Derek Jeter has matured because he was so it wasn't even an immature thing because he's, if you think of Derek Jeter, I don't think you ever think of him as an immature person.
No,
sometimes too mature.
Yes.
You know, but it turns out as we peel back the onion, there's a ton of room for immaturity, and he displayed it a few times, you know, and for years, really. And did that cost us World Series? I wouldn't even say possibly. I would say probably. There's probably at least one, whether it's 06, maybe it contributed in 04. You know, again, 03, I think it was just there's nothing that could have been done differently after that battle, aside from just some guys playing a little better in the World Series. But, like, he's Derek Jeter. He got us five World Series. Like, we've matured too. That's why we can see, like, what's going on and not get caught up in the, like, you know, being kids about it. Did Hicks just nut tap IKF?
Maybe. That was weird.
Bought it. But yeah, I just think, like, you get caught up when you're younger on, like, Derek Jeter's the fucking best person in the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely did.
And, like, he's not a bad person. Like, it's not like he, in all those women, he never knocked one up and left them like Tom Brady did.
Didn't do a Tiger.
Tiger Woods, yeah. Never a DUI, never an arrest. I mean, he was in New York in the 90s, like, Diddy's there, J-Lo's there, there's Shine's going to jail. And he never had any of that stuff. He was the nicest guy to people who he thought were trying to undercut him because he defended his spot.
But what I thought was interesting was how he said, oh, I wish I should have spent more time with my teammates at dinner and stuff, but I wanted to hang out with people that I trusted. And I thought it was weird. It's like you're in the locker room with these guys every day. They're baseball players. They're million-dollar millionaires. They're not fans. Like, you didn't trust a Gary Sheffield? You didn't trust Matsui? That's kind of weird to me.
You got to remember.
Supposed to be your brothers.
Supposed to be. I mean, they're all hired. They're all paid. He had Posada.
Yeah.
You know, there was always, like, to a certain extent at that time, everyone's trying to get you.
Yes.
You know, everyone wants to catch what club is he at? Where's he having dinner? Who's he with? He had a teammate steal stuff out of his locker to sell.
What? Oh, I'm not familiar.
What was it? Ruben Rivera?
Oh, that makes sense. That tracks. Yeah.
You know, and yes, that's one guy. When did Ruben Rivera do that?
Had to be early because he was.
Let's see. Ruben Rivera, Jeter glove. Yeah, he stole Jeter's glove to sell it.
That's fine.
2001.
Okay.
So he's gone out there. Like, this happened in spring training 2001. And Jeter didn't comment on it. So now they've gone out there. They've won 4 or 5 World Series. Go to spring training. Everyone wants to know what you're up to. You got someone steal from you on your own team.
Yeah.
9/11 happens. You lose the World Series in Game 7. It's a lot of stuff in 1 year, and then you kind of don't trust people.
I get that. I think fundamentally my issue is he's all like, I care about is winning. Whatever's going to help us win. Well, look, making these guys more comfortable defending A-Rod in 06, that would have helped us win. That I think that's why it gets under my skin.
So I think that as he has gone through like making this, he's coming to some realizations. And, you know, he admitted, like, I should have gone to more dinners. You know, I should have done more. If people were still saying, like, hey, yeah, like, this is – if they did this entire thing without Derek Jeter, like, someone just made this documentary, got Sheffield, you know, got people to talk about him, and then he came out and was like, nope, none of that. I was actually the perfect teammate. Then, yeah, he's a huge dickhead. But he's a human. He's flawed. I wish we had more World Series. I always wish we had more World Series. But compared to, you know, this fucking joke of a team lately – I still love the man.
Oh, of course, of course. And always
seeing him be a dad is so weird.
Yeah, and talk. Yeah, because he keeps mentioning three girls, has three kids. He must have. I guess they must have all been born pretty recently because he didn't have any kids when he was playing.
Yeah, no. They like pumped him out pretty quick because he's older, too. He's in his 40s.
But she's young. She's like much younger than she's got to be, what, 15, 20 years younger than him.
She's got to be like 15 years old.
IKF with a nice little double play. Okay. It was one of those line drive, like, nice extension. All right, see, I'm giving him credit.
Am I behind? Oh, yeah. Oh, I am innings behind, apparently.
What inning are you in?
I don't know. I feel like it's commercial now, right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, you're back.
Yeah. Hannah Jeter is 32.
And he's he's 45. He's got to be at least 45, 46.
Yeah, he is 48.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes me feel old.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know, in 2015, maybe 2014, I got invited to the SI swimsuit party.
Yeah.
And like they do a party in New York in like an office building thing. And then there's a bus outside and then people get on the bus. They go to a chartered plane and then they fly somewhere for more partying. Dave Portnoy got to do like the whole thing like years after I did it. But I was at the point where I was like, no one's ever going to be good enough for Derek Jeter. I'm standing there. I'm talking to someone. And I just like felt it almost like when people say they like feel a ghost, like you feel a spirit. And I just heard, excuse me. And someone tapped my back and it just felt different. And I turned and it was her.
Wow.
And I was just like, and I see her in person, and I was just like, you're good enough for him. There was just something I was like, you are so beautiful.
Well, it's not just that. She kind of looks like him. Like, she's got the same color eyes, same shape of face, same tone. Like, they almost kind of look – they almost kind of look like brother
beautiful.
And sister.
They look beautiful.
Yeah, of
They're
course.
Just like mixed race, perfectly symmetrical faces. Like, that's really – what you're saying. Like, I get what you're saying, because it's like the skin tone's kind of similar.
Yeah.
She's
green.
From
they have
islands.
The same like greenish
He's
eyes.
He's mixed race. Yeah, they're just – it's not that they look like brother and sister. They do look like someone who's similar like skin tone and just beautiful. Just absolutely gorgeous people.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the Jeter thing, seeing like the stuff. It was the first time I feel like he's really talked about racial stuff. I know we talked about that like last week. I feel like he really opened up. I feel like they really tried to make a lot out of like the A-Rod thing.
Yeah, Jamie even said that, made a comment like there's one episode where it was all about that, and it was kind of over it. They really overplayed that. What did you think of the – so I haven't seen the last one. We just watched episode 6. What did you think of the whole like, oh, you know, Girardi should have moved him down in the lineup, or he should have went in the office and moved – because I do remember like 2014. He sucked and they kept batting.
I mean, we knew that. But we knew that then.
Yeah.
Like, I was blogging then and I was saying like, yeah, but he's – Derek Jeter, so he's gonna get to do whatever he wants. And you know, they talked about they hit a point where he's the brand. It's not about being a baseball player, it's about being a brand.
And it's depressing to think about, because those teams, 2013 and 2014, other than the retirement tours for Mariano and Derek, there was nothing to be excited about. They had no prospects really coming up. The team was all – it was like the Vernon Wells, Travis Hafner, Kevin Youkilis year. I mean, they were so depressing. That was the only reason to go to a game.
Yeah, that's when they started to roll out like, hey, you want to see Wade Boggs on a horse?
Right. And A-Rod, the other thing people don't remember is that was the year – Jeter's last year was the year that A-Rod was suspended. So yeah. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm going to go see A-Rod play. Like, there was nothing. That was when CeCe was in his kind of, you know, crisis mode, or, you know, midlife crisis in terms of baseball. And he kind of sucked in 13 and 14 and then figured out his second act. But yeah, no, it was depressing times in Yankee Land. What did you think of them interacting last night? Did you watch that on K-Rod?
Well, so you haven't seen – so at the very end of the Jeter thing in the last episode, like, they've kind of covered everything. So yeah, you'll see a lot of – when I say him being a dad, they show – there's a lot of him like dancing with his girls in the backyard, like shit you just never pictured Derek Jeter doing. Yeah, it's weird to see. And then they just like at the very end are just like, yeah, so A-Rod, huh? Like, what's up with that? And, you know, I don't remember what episode. I think it was in the last episode. They've got Hannah like, yeah, I wish they would just go and, like, have dinner, like, with no cameras and just talk about it. So then to do the, like, the K-Rod thing, and first thing, like, Michael K, so you can tell Jeter is just like, I'm fucking over it. Like, I've already gotten paid. This thing is aired. Like, fuck you guys. Because he doesn't want to open up in general, like, more. Like, he went – what we see in the documentary and what we saw in the K-Rod thing was totally different. He went back to, like, buttoned up, like, I'm going to give political answers, Derek Jeter.
I thought he was cold. Like, A-Rod, well, you could sell – all A-Rod wanted was for Jeter to, like, smile at him and maybe slap him on the back once. You know what I mean? And just accept him. And Jeter just won't give him that satisfaction like that. If you can read the room, like, it was so obvious.
And, like, let me tell you, A-Rod cannot read the room.
No, no. He kept – how many times are you going to slap him on the –
like,
on
he
the
was
knee?
Really going, like, like, please, dude, give me something. Like, it got so uncomfortable, but then it was, like, so over the top that it was, like, obviously off-putting for Jeter.
Yeah,
that's what
no,
I was,
yeah.
You know, like, because it wasn't like, oh, hey, you're being, like, yeah, you're being cool, so I should be cool back. It was like, you're being so fucking corny that I'm going to get sucked into this, like, tornado of, like, self-deprecation and corny.
You could feel Jeter, like, wincing every time A-Rod touched him.
Tell him about the 80% that didn't vote for me.
And oh, that was great. And A-Rod would try to tell a story, and Jeter would be like, yeah, I don't really remember that. Like, he was just giving him nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It just like, yeah, no, well, I was there. Okay.
Yeah, right. Cool, dude. Like, it was so cold. He was icy. Derek is obviously never, if he's not over it by now, he's never gonna get over it. And Alex is just, he's so goofy. Like, he's such a goof. And you could still see that insecurity that kind of caused a lot of problems for in his career. You could see that on the couch last night.
Yeah, it was like, so A-Rod retired toward at the very end, like the last year. He had like, it seemed like he figured a lot of it out of like interacting with the media and whatever. Like when he came back from the suspension, it was like he had totally different like PR people. And then he did the Fox thing and like really made a name for himself as like an analyst in the studio and was personable. And then was dating J-Lo, which everyone loves. And then he moved to the booth and it was like, ah, this isn't as good. And they got him out of there. Now we got him in the K-Rod. He owns the Timberwolves. Like it's all great thing. He's king of the campus. But last night was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and Big Bro came back from college.
Wow.
It was homecoming. And he just went back to just like cornball, like, I don't know how to act because Big Bro's here.
That is a great analogy. And you know what's crazy for me? Like, I like to think I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin and stuff, and I'm just a regular guy. I can't imagine being, you know, looking like A-Rod, being 6'4", being a, you know, his career,
yeah,
that good at baseball, and that doesn't compute for me.
Let me tell you right now, if I fucked Madonna, I'll spit in Derek Jeter's face. Like, you had them all, buddy. You had Madonna, you had Cameron Diaz, Kate Hudson won us a World Series.
It was funny.
Nervous around Derek Jeter. You guys took a weird shirtless pic together.
It's like it's his kryptonite. Like like you said, the Big Brother coming home for Thanksgiving Eve. Like that. Wow, that's so accurate. It was funny when they asked about, like, asked Jeter what his favorite actress was, and you could see him like racking his brain of all the actresses that he slept with.
Yeah,
I just thought that was hysterical. He's like, let me come back to this one.
Yeah. So fucking smart. When he did that, I was like, when he said Denzel, I was like, great one.
Right. He could name the dude. He wasn't naming an actress.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, I'm not even going to touch that. Right. Because next thing you know, now you get a text message from Minka Kelly. Like, I thought you loved Friday Night Lights. And he's just like, who's this? New phone.
I think when they won in 09, it was A-Rod was with Kate Hudson and Jeter was with Minka Kelly. I thought Minka Kelly was going to be the one, because he was with her for like, I want to say like 4 years.
He was with her for a while, and then I saw Friday Night Lights, and I was like, she is just not it. She's not deserving of him.
She was. I remember when I thought they were going to get married, she was in the box with his family for the 3,000th hit, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, if he's letting her go, like maybe. But then no, she didn't make it.
No. I wonder what happened there. Yeah, I just think like it was cool to see that side of him, and now I'm comfortable not seeing any more of it.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think the answer is probably no. Do you think he will do anything with the Yankees in any capacity, advisor, consultant, anything like that?
So when they talk about the Marlins, like there was a point when it got to like the 2001 World Series in the thing, and I was like, oh, there are more episodes of this. Like, I just forgot, like, he's had the whole rest of his career where things weren't perfect.
Right.
And I think like, I kind of thought like in Jeter form, it'd be like, oh, well, this is it. Like, I'm not going to talk about the slow years. Or then even, you know, the Marlins, you know, cause that is still fairly recent. So I think ownership, cause it's like, you got to go through the whole thing of getting everybody's money together and all that and get the bid, and he could do all the networking and all that. But at the end of the day, Derek Jeter didn't own the Marlins.
No.
He was not. And, you know, his name was the big name when they first started talking about it. But you know, I know, everybody knows, and he knows, he didn't own the Marlins. Oh, so I don't think he's going to do it again. because he's never going to be able to own the team. Am I on a delay?
Yeah.
Is Rizzo about to put
you? I'll just tell you. So Rizzo got hit and they called whatever calls like, oh, you didn't get out of the way. So they're not giving him the base. And he is a guy, you know, his reputation is that he hangs over the plate. He's pretty angry. And
I mean, that was
Rizzo
in the box on the hip. That's not an elbow over the plate.
I'm pretty sure there's no way that's reviewable.
Boone is
either.
Like, Boone's out there just like, DJ's foot hurts. Don't get thrown out.
Yeah, I don't know what you were going to do there. Like, wow, you could see him turn around and he's just like, what the fuck? You never see Rizzo get angry.
I wonder if who's behind the plate.
Some prick, clearly.
But there was a call. The other. Oh, that's pretty. He is in there.
You think?
Did you see the over the top view?
No. I must have missed that one. Boone's still out there.
Yeah, it's close. Like it was on. It was that ball was on the chalk line.
What's the So is that a ball? Is that just a ball, or is that a no pitch? It's not a strike. Like what are the? Or is it?
I think
no
it's
pitch?
A ball. No, okay. I think it's a ball.
And that's the kind of
shit because it
that
wasn't
happens.
A strike. It wasn't over the plate.
If this is in June, that he's jogging to first base and he's all good. This is the shit that happens when it's going bad, man, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's as like you get hit by a pitch and don't get the base. That's as shitty as it gets.
That's depressing. And you know he's just going to – he's going to get out here and then scream at the ump again is my prediction.
He just – we don't have the depth to get ejected right now.
Dude, we can't even get a guy to fucking third base, much less score. This is just like – this whole stretch has been really, really depressing.
It's tough to watch. It's tough to watch. It's tough to podcast about.
There it is. There's one other thing, actual baseball thing I wanted to bring up. So going back to Wednesday when they brought in Albert Abreu for some reason with a one-run lead, immediately blows it. And you think about Ron Marinaccio was maybe their most consistent reliever for a couple of weeks. He's in the minor leagues because he has options. Clark Schmidt just threw 6 no-hit innings in AAA. He's in the minor leagues because he has options. They keep thinking about the long-term – the service time and the options instead of just winning today's game. Like I want to stop worrying about 2027 and go out and beat the Rays tonight. And they don't have the best 26 players out there. And that bothers me.
So, I think that from the pitching standpoint too, like I get the Peraza. If we've made it this far, wait a couple days, right? But Albert Abreu fucking stinks. Like, he should not be on a major league roster. He's been DFA'd already. He got traded for nothing. He is awful. So, like, that he's – like, we're not even using him the rest of the weekend because he stinks. So why is he taking up – like, that's a dead roster spot.
Yeah, they're using him because he's on the roster because he doesn't have any options left, and they don't want to burn his option. And Marinaccio does that's the wrong reason. That's like the dad playing their kid at shortstop. Like that is not a reason that he should be out there.
But the option only matters if you're going to keep him in the franchise. He is not good enough to play at the major league level, and he has proven it time and time again. And it's not like, oh well, there's a big contract to be on the hook for. Because he's already been released this year. So somebody's all like people are already picking up the extra. So now you're paying whatever's left on the league minimum. Give up the 70 grand and let's go.
It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, there are two guys. I mean, Schmidt and Marinaccio should both be, especially with the state of their bullpen. I mean, who do they even – I guess Chapman's been good lately. Wandy's been good lately. And Efros has looked okay. They need bullpen help. And they have guys that could help that are wasting bullets. I mean, Clark Schmidt throwing 6 no-hit innings, like, that pissed me off. I was like, this is such a waste of bullets.
Yeah. No, I mean, once Seve went down, I mean, yeah, you had Herman come in. But, yeah, there's got to be room for Schmidt. There's got to be room for Maraschino Cherries. You just got to like you got to get them up. And I agree. I've tried to be very composed and not get over, you know, and I put September 1st because you got to have things in order. So there, it, you know, we'll know what it is when it, we wake up on Friday morning. I think it's Friday. I think it's got to be through Thursday. It might be Saturday. I'm not sure. And Peraza gets called up. Then we know exactly what it was the whole time.
And I liked your, but I liked your idea. I mean, I liked your idea. They won't do this, but if ILing DJ, throwing IKF at third for a little bit, and
he's the only Gold Glove third baseman on the roster, and his defensive problems have been balls that he's running to in front of him. Today's hit, that was a hit. He was running forward to a ball in front of him. You're not getting as much of that at third base. The ones you're getting for third base, those are just quick bare hand plays.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
You know, you can't get out of the Donaldson contract. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. I mean, maybe if you eat most of it. But, you know, he's looked bad. So let's just get the best 26 guys. And, like, at least give me the best 26 guys by September 1st.
Have to. And that's a date. I was looking at Labor Day, which I guess, well, I don't know, maybe that's the 4th.
It's the same
5th.
Thing. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. No, you got to, by mid-September, they have to be playing well.
Can't be mid-September. Mid-September is the 15th. The 5th, Labor Day, I'm fine. Okay. Need those extra 10 days. Because if you are, you know, if Peraza is coming up, you got it. Like, it's just totally different at the major league level. Yes, you have so much more at your disposal, but you have a lot more freedom. You have a lot more, you know, you have a lot more money. That first paycheck significantly different. You make your whole season in one paycheck, like your whole minor league season in one paycheck. These guys make $1,400 a month. You get the league minimum. It's like 50 grand.
Yeah, and they need a spark too, whether that's Bader coming back, whether that's calling up Peraza, whether that's like they desperately need some sort of spark. You could just tell. You could just tell.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of excitement. And I think part of me thought it could just be Stanton comes back, hits an opposite field home run, and it's just like, all right, well, there we go. That's, you know, that's the spark we needed. But you can even see the frustration in Judge's face.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he's carrying the load. He's putting up this great season. And, you know, I think he wants to be – does he want to be a Yankee? I think so. I think he's making a business decision coming up. But I think he'd like to win a World Series as a Yankee.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's worth a lot. Gun to his head, he'd like to stay. I mean, why would you want to leave?
If all things were even, yes. Yeah. But he's going to make a business decision. And that's fine. I respect that. But he'd like to – win an MVP award, win a World Series, and go into free agency like that.
Definitely. Oh, for sure. And it's got to be frustrating. You know, you're hitting home runs every night and the team's not winning and nobody's on base when you're hitting the home runs.
Yeah.
Recently, they've pretty much all been solo shots because nobody's getting on base ahead of him. So, no, he's definitely frustrated. And I know he misses that protection from Stanton.
We all do.
Yeah. Please come back. He might start a rehab assignment this weekend.
Yeah, he took like regular pregame like work. They showed him a little bit, but he was fielding balls in right field. And part of me is like, well, I guess that it'll be a combination of DH and that.
He can get back. I think they go out west, not the weekend of the week. Maybe they go to Oakland. It's like the 25th or something. If he can come back for that series and give him a little jolt out west, that would be good.
Which I think that's kind of what we've expected the last couple of weeks when we've talked about him.
I don't know, man. These Stanton injuries are mistake. You never know. Like, he scraped his knee. He was out 3 months in 2019. You just don't know.
Could go on for forever. May never come back.
Yeah. It's like.
But then Seve's on the 60-day DL, IL, and they're just like, well, he's, you know, he's going to start throwing.
He threw a 25-pitch pen today. He said it's the best he's felt all year. These injuries are so – stuff's so confusing, man.
It makes absolutely no sense. Britton is facing batters. Getting ready to do a rehab assignment. So, like, I don't know. There's a chance. There's some hope.
Hicks just massively misplayed a ball that I probably would have caught, and Peralta's coming in for a triple.
What the fuck is going on with my goddamn – the MLB app is so bad. Like, I am maxed out, and now in 10 minutes, it'll say that I'm 5 minutes behind.
dude, they play really shitty defense behind Cole. It's like, this is going to be a hit because it didn't touch his glove, but he did the turn where he spins the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the second thing they teach you when you're playing the outfield? First is always go back.
Yep.
Second is never turn all the way around.
And he did.
And this guy's doing pirouettes out there.
Yeah, that was ugly. That's why they traded for Bader. Yeah, no, they, for some reason, really shitty defense behind Cole.
And I know, like, we talked about it earlier, but, like, Cole's got to have a better attitude when that happens.
But when it happens every other inning, you start to get irritated.
I know, but, well, like, being pouty here and giving up a two-run home run isn't going to help us, you know?
You're right.
And the world knows Hicks sucks. It's not like everyone's blowing Hicks and Cole's like, I can't believe everybody fucking blows this guy. Look what he's doing. Like, we all know, dude. We want him gone, too.
Yeah. And, dude, this is just a quick little nugget. Apparently, Brandon Cuddy reported that Cashman tried to find a taker at the deadline, see if anybody would take that contract. Shockingly, nobody did. We only got, what, 17 more years on that?
Yeah, I'm hoping to be at his last game as a Yankee. You know, it depends on the scheduling of, like, whatever high school football game my two-year-old will be cheering at by then, by the time we're out of that fucking contract. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been rough, and I don't – oh, there's a run.
Yeah,
we're not going to win at a 70% clip again. But, like, we're going to need to soon.
Yeah, they got to win a series. I don't think they've won a series since that Royals series. They won 3 out of 4 at home against, like, the worst team ever. So, yeah, they need to take 2 out of 3 from somebody. They got 2 more. Or I think this is a 4-game series with Tampa, I think. Or is it 3 and then 4 with Toronto? They play every day this week either way.
Yeah. I don't remember which way it breaks.
Pick it up, guys. Pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can do. I know you're listening, you're frustrated, we're frustrated. Let's hope, I mean, by the time we come back next week, could have Peraza.
Can dream, a boy can dream.
Show won't be out till Thursday next week. We're not recording till Wednesday. Nick's got some stuff and a birthday. So we'll be doing that. So it'll be a little later in the week. You can follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. And hey, if we figure it out, we'll see you at the parade.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.